Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Danny and Dusty.
My Uncle Gus is the uncle that likes to work the grill. As soon as he walk in the house, he's like, get away from that grill. You don't know how to start no fire.
With the latest on the Blazers, Ducks, Beavers, and the hottest topics in sports.
We're going to eat a hamburger, okay? Here we go. Chad, throw the match. Now that's a fire.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
I'm not cooking a brontosaurus burger.
The Fan.
Hour number three here on Danny and Dusty on a Wednesday afternoon. We appreciate you. We love you. Whether you listen on 1080 AM, watch along on YouTube.com/1080 AM The Fan or Twitch.tv/1080 The Fan. We love you. We appreciate you and everything that you do. So much so, we like to, we'd like to give back. We're a show for the people, especially if you're people who like Def Leppard and Journey.
Woo-hoo!
They are coming to Moda Center September 2nd. September 2nd.
Okay.
Moda Center. Def Leppard. Journey. If you want to be in the audience, you can enter now by texting in DEF. That's DEF to 503-864-6326 to enter for your chance to win tickets to see Def Leppard and Journey on September 2nd at Moda Center.
Def Leppard, Journey, one night only.
Look, if you don't like Def Leppard and Journey, then you just don't like stuff.
He said it.
Yeah, he said it. Pour some sugar on me, baby.
Yeah, let's go.
Look, think of the bangers that you're gonna have that night.
Don't stop believing.
When the lights go out in the city, you've got
open arms. Yeah,
it's gonna be. That's one of those concerts that you go to, and the next day you show up and you're like, have no voice anywhere. You're like, where were you at?
Well, you know what? Singing. When you go to a concert like that, you know what you like? You like to take home a little bit of a memento, perhaps a photograph.
You animal. Mm. You see what I did there?
Yeah.
You see what I did
it's
there?
It's a whole hysteria.
Yeah. Armageddon it.
I hate you both.
Would you say that when love and hate collide, that's where you're at right now?
Yes. And if you're interested in more,
it's kind of always there.
You can go to 1080thefan.com.
We're going to bring on the heartbreak
for all the rules and info.
I guess that one's bringing on the heartbreak, right?
Yeah, something like that. I don't know. I can't stop because otherwise it's, God, who's crying now? Anyway, whatever. Whatever we need to do this segment, any way you want it.
Tell you what, I'm going to scrap the Halliburton. We're going to come back next with that.
All right, let's just all go our separate ways.
All right.
All right.
He's got nine lives.
We're going to have a little bit of fun with the audio here. Long Beach State University head coach, Dan Monson, he was on the podium ahead of his NCAA tournament game, and he was asked what it was like to watch film with his team following the news that he would be fired following the end of the season.
Probably hysteria.
And you're watching film, and you got hear guys sniffling and everything. And so the first thing I said is, you know, just bonding together and this galvanizing is not going to be enough. Our defense has got to get better. We've got to be a better basketball team this week. And I said, just look at this first defensive clip, guys. I said, you know, we close out short here. I said, the guy's wide open. We don't get a contest. These are the kind of plays that would get a coach fired. And the whole room just broke up. And it just started right then. It was like, okay, you know, we're going to be all right here.
That's just fantastic. For those that are wondering, Dan Monson has been fired and been told that he will be relieved of his coaching duties at the end of the season. They go on and they make a fortuitous run, win the conference tournament, and are in the NCAA tournament. And yet he's got to go in there. He doesn't have to. I'm sure the assistant coach could take over, but he's been there for such a long time, since 2008, 16 years, that it's his guys. He's gonna ride this thing out, and he has the foresight to break up the sad sour tone.
Well, Arizona should mop the floor with him.
Yes,
like they should. But the scariest team in a tournament is one that has nothing to lose.
Nothing to lose.
And when you don't get bogged down by all the pressures that come with the tournament, Like, that's where coaches get too tight. That's where players get too tight.
Play free and loose.
And this is a team that you're sitting there, like, they're obviously coming into this thing saying, guys, we don't belong here. Our coach is already fired. We're just going to roll the ball out and we'll let the dust settle and we'll see where we're at after we play Arizona. That is terrifying, mm-hmm. especially for a team with the recent tournament history that Arizona has. Which Arizona, the last two times that they have had like crippling tournament defeats, mm-hmm. they have gotten so lucky. Because remember DeAndre Ayton and Sean Miller,
yep.
they lost as a 2 seed, 2 of 15, and Purdue ended up losing to UMBC yep. that night. Last year, they lose as a 2 seed, mm-hmm. and guess what happens? Purdue loses to Fairleigh Dickinson.
Oh.
They have gotten bailed out by like losses that everybody would remember and mock them for.
Yes.
But they've been overshadowed by 16 seeds beating a 1 seed mm-hmm. the last two times that that's happened. Yeah, you don't want to fall into this one again.
Yeah, they're a 2 seed again, and they might bleep around and find out.
Well, I don't see that happening.
I don't either.
I don't see that happening.
But remind me again, who won the Pac-12 tournament?
The Oregon Ducks.
Is that the Arizona Wildcats?
It is not the Arizona okay. Wildcats.
I'm pretty sure that's another result that nobody saw happening.
Yeah. Again.
Last year, didn't they lose to Princeton? They got Princeton last
yeah,
year.
Yeah, I think you're right.
They lost to Princeton.
Yeah, they're
Princeton and 157-year-old Pete Carrill.
Yeah. Still going.
Still out there coaching
yeah.
them up.
Yeah. The Crypt Keeper.
Yeah, the tournament history of Arizona basketball, it is not
in the last 10
good.
Years particularly.
Guys, it has been a bloodbath mm-hmm. for them. And obviously, they're the last Pac-12 team to win a national championship.
Mm-hmm.
But they have had crippling defeat after crippling defeat in the tournament. And you can't afford to have that happen again this year. Because you have to start flexing your muscles when you head into the Big 12. Big 12 is going to be a basketball powerhouse. When they enter next year,
it's disgusting.
Gonna be
it ain't gonna be the trip through the Pac-12 they've had in the regular season either.
No, even the lower end basketball teams there are very good.
Yeah, was that no? It was 2018. They were a 13 seed they were a 4 seed, and they lost to a 13 seed Buffalo with DeAndre Ayton on that team. They weren't a 2 seed in that.
Oh, okay,
one. I'm gonna make
they
Arizona
just lost
fans
to Buffalo.
Very upset. Sorry. You were a 4 seed that lost to a 13. they need to make a run, man. It's always better when they're good at basketball. And making a run is a good way for the Pac-12 to go out. But you got to make it past, you know, what they've had. They've been bouncing the Sweet 16 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, Princeton, the first round. Come on, Tommy Lloyd. Let's go.
Figure it out.
Get him going, but I'm fighting. I'm going for the fighting Munson's though.
Oh, absolutely! You don't want to get Munson'd.
You don't want to get Munson'd or Munson'd.
That's what's going to happen here.
Don't get Munson'd.
All right, coming up next, we will get into the Tyrese Haliburton debate and around sports psychology and gambling in sports. Coming up here on Danny and Dusty, 1080 The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Danny and Dusty on The Fan.
Oh, the Bushwhackers on Wrestling Wednesday.
You love that one, don't you?
Hell yeah. I love the Bushwhackers.
This sounds like 8-bit video game yeah. music. I do respect it.
And they were the 8-bit wrestling duo. The Bushwhackers were...
They were basically a real-life cartoon wrestling tag team.
Yeah, they were great.
Mike Tyson punch out of wrestling.
100% like that's it. What they were.
Yeah.
And their blue little skivvies that they wore.
The sports world is in a very interesting position right now. We are on the the impetus of federal gambling becoming a legal entity across the country. We are now at, I believe, 40 states that have some form of legalized sports wagering.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
We're up to that many.
Yeah.
Oh, good on that.
I think like seven more open this year.
Okay.
It looks like, I mean, we're very likely to have federally legal gambling before we have federally legal marijuana, which is interesting when you think about it. But it has impacted things on a psychological standpoint for a lot of athletes and people that work in sports in general. I have talked to people in social media that manage team accounts that have told me some of the most heinous things they've ever seen in their life have come from sports gamblers. One DM that stands out is that was sent to a team account that said, "I hope the entire team plane crashes."
So, oh.
Because their parlay didn't hit.
That seems reasonable,
right?
Yeah, that's a reasonable thing.
And
to
you
wish
can say,
somebody.
"Oh, just ignore it. Just ignore it." When it's just there all the time, you don't just get to ignore it. And eventually, it seeps through. And this kind of came through as Tyrese Halliburton was talking about whether or not or how he's worked with a sports psychologist, and if so, what that process looks like. And he gave a pretty in-depth and eye-opening answer.
I've done that for, you know, kind of the last couple of years. You know, it's been good for me, even when I'm not, I don't want to just talk to him when I'm struggling, you know, like, I think there has to be a conversation at other times, too, because I think, like, I mean, obviously what happens on the court is what happens on the court, but like, just life in general, it's important, I think, for us as basketball players, as men, to get those things out, because not everybody cares to hear how we feel, or, I mean, that's just the point, like, period. I mean, to half the world, I'm just, you know, helping them make money on DraftKings or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, I'm a prop, you know what I mean? Like, that's what my social media mostly consists of, you know? I think it's important for us to, like, have somebody to talk to, and, like, I think all that stuff is, like, it can be funny sometimes when somebody's like, you know, I lost $1,000, I don't give a you know what I mean? But, I do think that it's important for us to just have conversations with people who really value who we are as human beings. And it's not just sports psychologists, but it's our teammates, it's our loved ones. It's people who really look out for our well-being. And that's important for me to just have those constant conversations.
It's a really interesting spot when you think about it, that it is dominating so much of not just a lot of sports discourse, but social media discourse.
I think that one of the important things that he said there is, before you fire off that tweet or DM to an athlete, they don't give an F. And that's what that big blank spot was. They don't give an F if you win or lose your bet. They don't care because you're the one that did it.
Mm-hmm.
And that is your fault for doing it.
And they
it
don't want to
hear
about
their
it.
Their fault for doing it. And this is where I think that people be like, "Oh, relax. I don't mean I want him to die." It's like, then you haven't been on the other side of it and you haven't seen it over and over again, because if you're one person that's doing it, think of the other 5, 6, 7, 8 thousand that end up doing that over the course of, you know, a season, a year, a couple of years. And when you keep seeing it over and over again, I think that is where you think that it's your one-off tweet to the guy. But it's not.
No.
You are not the one-off. It keeps happening time and time again.
Endlessly. There was a player who I was talking to who told me they don't manage their social media. They have somebody else who manages it for them. But he has the login information. And every now and then he'll log in just to read it because he's like, this is insane. But he doesn't want to see it all the time.
It's not healthy.
No. But I get it. It's like, you know, look at the train wreck. You just kind of want to go, what the hell is going on here?
And you do it when you're in a good headspace.
Yeah, you're on the plane and you're just like, I wonder what these lunatics are saying.
But that's something that I think we all need to do as people. And I think that's one thing that Halliburton is talking about there is, you know, it's not just a sports psychologist that he talks to about it. It's your teammates. It's the people around you. Because you think of it as all the negativity that they get on social media or in arena when people are heckling you and yelling, it does chip away at you little by little. And having that openness and willingness to talk, it's a really tough thing to do.
It is.
It's hard for you to do with even the people that you're closest to, but it is a thing that is healthy, especially when you're bombarded with negativity.
Yep. And for those wondering, the Portland Trailblazers do have a team psychologist, Dr. Green. She is around. Today, perfect example. When we get off air, I'm going to drive the 5 minutes across the bridge and get in that building at like 3:15, right? I will get out there. Dr. Green will be on the bench as guys are going through all their warmups, and they will all, at some point in time, come over and just talk to her. They're just coming. She is always just available to them.
It's amazing.
Yes. And it's not that she's out there, you know, doing psychology stuff. You know, they're not working through a tragedy. It's just having a relationship, having that open communication, somebody to talk to about whatever.
It has been, it's fascinating to see, though, kind of the people that have been at the forefront of that, because I was reading a story this week or over the weekend about John Calipari. One of the first people that he hired when he got to Kentucky was the team psychologist, just to be there for, and he's kind of been the right-hand man for Cal, is the person that's the intermediary too, between the coach and the player, and just getting things out there. And, you know, they don't tell the coach or, you know, the organization in professional sports what the exact things are, mm-hmm, that's bothering a player, but they can say, hey, you know, look, so-and-so's struggling right now. You know, that's a guy, and it tells coaches too, is valuable part of, you know, sports performance is when you can push those buttons and you start learning how you can push those buttons to maximize that individual in a team context. And it's sports psychology is really important, mm-hmm, at the highest levels of sports right now.
And the envelopes that they're pushing and the things that they're trying to help people take care of mentally, emotionally, that's all a huge part of this, because it's not people getting softer. It's the world getting, I think, more coarse.
Aware. The world is aware.
Yeah.
More so than ever.
And so on both fronts, both positively and negatively.
I think that when you look at this too, like gambling was the question posed, yeah, with Halliburton. The crazy thing is that, yeah, we now have 40 states with legalized gambling, and like guys will call out the parlay. This was happening before sports gambling was legalized, though.
Oh, yeah. No.
And it wasn't just about betting.
But now it's everywhere.
It's not just about betting, though. It is just your performance. And, mm-hmm, I mean, hell, we know this from Myers Leonard here in Portland. Myers Leonard was booed by the home fans in Moda Center a few years back.
Mm-hmm.
That's not about gambling.
No.
That's about idiot fans.
Yes.
Who think that they can just say what they want and do what they want.
And it hurt him.
Under the guise of anonymity, yeah, and it's one, cruel.
It genuinely hurt him.
But the other part of it is, if you were sitting across the table from him, you wouldn't say it.
No,
you wouldn't. You wouldn't do it. And that's like one of the things about social media, is that so many people will just fire off whatever they're feeling.
Some anime,
and it's the dumbest thing ever.
Yeah. As soon as you see that, it's. But even when you know that, it's still difficult to process.
For sure.
Because we're all human. So there you go.
Don't be a moron on socials.
No, don't. You can be stupid, just don't be a moron.
Don't be stupid on socials either.
Yeah, stupid's fun sometimes. It's okay. I'm okay with it. All right. Coming up next, we'll have a little bit more fun with audio. And on the not-so-fun side, Major League Baseball likes bombs, but not all of them. But first, it's Big Kahuna's Sports Center Update.
Hamburgers, the cornerstone of any nutritious breakfast.
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and Portland's sports leader, 1080 The Fan.
Baseball's back.
Yeah, it stuck up on us here. The
it did.
Unofficial opening day over in South Korea.
Which, man, they turn out for the baseball.
Baseball in Asia is way more fun than baseball in America.
It's a party.
Whether it's Japan, Korea, Thailand, like or Chinese Taipei, not Thailand. Don't know if they played baseball in Thailand.
Taiwan. Yeah.
They go all out. They have bands. They have cheerleaders. Laser light shows are happening. Their all-star games have bunting competitions that people go nuts over. It's awesome.
I believe it's pronounced Thailand.
Thailand, yeah.
No, that's what it's like here when the sun comes out.
Strip club row.
It's way more fun to watch the videos that come out of like the Japanese league or the Korean league because of the entertainment value and the way that people get into it. They treat it like a football game. It's what I wish baseball was here, but we are so stuck in the mud with baseball and the traditionalists. And look, I get it. It is fun to go to a ballpark and just hang out and watch the action. It's not an up-tempo sport, but that doesn't mean it can't be a fun environment to be in. And that's what I love about these international games.
It can when before the opening matchup in Korea against the San Diego Padres, if somebody sends in a bomb threat to blow up the building ahead of time.
Yeah, that was a weird little note out of Seoul in that apparently they sent an email to the authorities saying that they wanted to bomb and injure Shohei Ohtani for whatever reason. Like, who doesn't like Shohei Ohtani?
I would.
Like, what does this guy not like about Shohei Ohtani?
I'm gonna go with Giants fans.
And even then, they're like, "Oh, Shohei's so nice."
He is. He's a lovable guy.
He's
got to
have like 100% approval rating.
He's, 99.999% because this guy didn't like him. It didn't affect Ohtani, though, or the game because Ohtani went, 2-for-5 with an RBI? Still, his swing is so beautiful.
Oh, God, it's great.
It is just flawless.
Nothing will beat Ken Griffey Jr.'s, but it's close.
The response from Major League Baseball is what got me, though, because Major League Baseball... They investigated the matter. They saw that this was just one idiot, unserious, in his threat to bomb the stadium before. But the person clearly said that Shohei Ohtani was the target here, and they just want to injure others too, right? Major League Baseball statement said, "The safety and security of our fans and everyone in the ballparks is where we play is our top priority."
No, it was actually...
How about the players? Yeah, players and fans.
To be honest, I think they said that, but it was actually the safety and security of the $700 million man was probably their priority.
Yeah, and it should be. Yeah. And it should be. So. It's a weird start. It's good to have baseball back in regular season baseball. They're going to play again at 3 a.m. So, I mean, you'll probably watch that game live.
Crackhead hours, baby.
Yeah, you roll those crackhead hours.
Well, I do only have to work for a half hour tomorrow.
I think it's Shea Serrano that always says those are, you know, like prime writing hours.
He's not wrong. Yeah. The Alex Saar piece that I got done, I finished that at about 2:30. So yeah, that tracks 100%.
Yeah,
what it is. Also in Shohei Ohtani news, breaking news, as a article from the LA Times says, the Shohei Ohtani's attorney is accusing Shohei Ohtani's interpreter of massive theft tied to alleged gambling. So it's been a rough week for Shohei.
This is a bizarre story because
this just broke 25 minutes ago.
Apparently, so Ippei Muzuhara, who was Shohei Ohtani's interpreter and like his right hand man, like Shohei Ohtani speaks enough English to where he can get by.
But he just chooses.
But this is his guy, right? And very similar to Ichiro. Like, had the same thing. But Mazuhara's name popped up in an investigation with this guy named Matthew Bauer, who is he's an Orange County guy, but he's being looked into by the feds for illegal bookmaking. And this is the part that I just can't, wrap my head around. Over the course of... months, apparently Muzuhara got his hands on millions of dollars of Ohtani's and was placing bets with this bookmaker. Millions of dollars. How does your interpreter have access to millions of your dollars.
Access to your funds.
Is he just sitting there with like Zotani? Just literally, we say a $700 million contract. He's like sleeping on a bed of cash. Is that literally what is happening with Otani? Because how does
it's deferred.
Millions of dollars just like, yeah, this guy's just whoop.
It was deferred to his interpreter.
Give him a debit card and was like, hey, bro, have at it.
This one's got access to the PJ.
Like, yeah. How do you.
I don't.
The ways that these guys get money, and what I'm sure happened is, yeah, you build that trust up with the guy, and he's like, hey, can you loan me some cash? Hey, can you loan me some cash?
And or it just keeps happening. He does give him a card, because if he's in your interpreter, he's with you all the time.
All the time. He's everywhere you go.
He is your... I would imagine it's not the same, but similar to our military interpreters. Like, when we were over there, we had to have interpreters regularly. And we had to trust these guys with our lives. Now, it's not the same on that extent, but you're trusting them with your, not only your social currency, but your actual currency. Because they're probably, if he's with him all the time, he's probably also running some errands for him. He's probably also helping him with things. He's also managing other things that require money. So instead of being like, hey, Shohei, Venmo me, he gets the Shohei card and or access to the bank and is just, yeah, no, you've got this to take care of, this to take care of, this to take care of. And I'm sure Shohei probably doesn't check his freaking bank account.
And look,
that often.
He came over with him from the Angels to the Dodgers. And so, like, this literally is it. We see this all the time in sports, though. How many times do professional athletes get ripped off by family members?
Oh, God.
By their agents, by their marketing managers, by their best friends and the people that are close to them? This happens time and time again. Like, this is nothing new, but that tells you, like, it's not just an interpreter. It's one of your closest confidants and really your best friend, because it's the person that you were with right when you come over and you are attached at the hip together all the time.
But are you really giving this person access to, like, your personal account? You don't have, like, a secondary business, whatever,
well,
have
this
you
is the
account
main.
For, you know? But, I mean...
Or maybe he has multiple accounts with millions of dollars because he's worth a billy.
So apparently the Dodgers fired him on Wednesday, the interpreter. They're just going to leave him in South Korea? Like, or did they bring him over there? Like,
I don't know. He's got millions.
Like, well, how does that work with the international dateline?
Ooh. That's a good question. That has been a mind, you know what, for me. They're like, the game is being played on Thursday, Wednesday morning at 3 a.m. The international dateline gets me.
Yeah, no.
Time
so
travel.
They fired him Wednesday, and they're going to fly back, and it's still
on
Wednesday.
You can do it.
That's right. Tuesday.
The one that always stands out to me with this was back in early 2014. Jack Johnson played for the Colorado Avalanche and then the Blue Jackets. His parents stole $20 million from him. He was broke.
Happens all the time.
Yeah. It's just wild. Like, his parents was like, no, we're going to buy this and buy this and buy this and buy this. And you say, oh, well, why do they have access? Because you trust them.
I love my parents. And my parents love me. And sometimes things have to go back and forth. But you know what I don't have access to? Their checking account. Nor do they have access to mine.
Well, clearly you're doing it wrong.
Yeah. Go make $40 million real quick, dude. All right?
Find out who has access to what then.
As an 18-year-old. Yeah. I think that's where it happens. It's like, I think that is where the theft happens, is like, you're sitting there going, I'm too irresponsible to handle all of this money. And your parents, you always seem that they're far more responsible. Like, they have it figured out. Here to tell you, kids, parents don't have it figured out. We're white-knuckling this thing.
Yeah. Right here.
Actually, your parents do have it figured out. Listen to them.
Yes, we know exactly what we're talking about.
Throughout everything.
Indeed. All right, coming up next, we'll put a nice little bow on today's show before we get ready to hand you off to Isaac and Stu. Come up here next to you on Danny and Dusty, 1080 The Fan.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.
You know, we were talking baseball, and, well, it wasn't all great news between a bomb threat and now Shohei Ohtani's interpreter being fired for allegedly stealing millions of dollars from his client and probably very good friend.
Not good, Bob.
On the good news front, can I introduce it, or can I interest you in some all-you-can-eat seats?
No.
Go on.
No.
I have Jeff Russ attentions. The Miami Marlins.
And that's where you lose me.
Oh. Well, for as little as $52, you can get tickets to a Miami Marlins game where you get all-you-can-eat seats. And what does that include? Hot dogs, chili dogs, nachos with cheese, chili nachos, cheeseburgers, popcorn, peanuts, cookies, non-alcohol beverages, and water.
Damn.
Which means you can have as much as you want between the time you get there and the end of the seventh inning. You just have to stay in your area. And if you want booze, you got to pay for that.
Okay.
And you can only take four items at a time.
Okay, so you have the seventh inning. All
they are really underestimating some people.
I mean, $52 is where this thing starts, though. And, like, right there, you're looking at, you take your family of four. And this is, of course, before all the taxes and fees on your tickets. You're looking at, you know, $208 for a family of four. It's probably what you're spending in going to the concession stand, too. So the fact that you can go back and go for more.
Sure.
Yeah, that makes sense. But that is a lot of food. Like, you're going to be getting
a decent selection of crappy ballpark food.
Do we know where these seats are?
They say they're in sections 201 through 204.
All right, that doesn't sound bad.
That sounds like
good seating at Marlins ballpark. But again, you're having to go and watch the Miami Marlins. But any day at the ballpark is a good day at the ballpark.
Gotta get butts in the seats, right?
Sure do.
Okay, so you can go. There's a Rate Your Seats website that will give you sight lines.
Yeah. You're looking right down the first base line.
These are good seats.
They're great seats. Yeah, I'm in. I'm in on
these
this.
These are great. I'm in on this.
Yeah, it's a great little plan to get people back in the ballpark. Now, the lines are probably going to be, this is what they're going to do. They're going to make it so it's so difficult to, well, you're going to get backed up in a long, lot of ways there. Chili dogs. Sucking on the chili dogs. But if you, they're going to probably have one concession stand that you can go to for like two full sections of the ballpark.
Indeed. And they'll have three beer ones that are next to it.
That's where they're going to get their money. Like, they will get their pound of flesh. Like, any deal like this is always too good to be
it's
true.
It's not in Atlanta, though.
At Atlanta, they have it figured out.
That's
Falcon
the thing.
Falcon Stadium, Mercedes-Benz has got it figured out.
I think you're going to see, over the next 5 to 10 years, more arenas going to that model.
See, but we thought that when the Falcons came out with this, almost a decade ago now.
The difference is,
and no other ballpark has changed. No stadium has done it.
The difference is the TV revenue stuff is changing. And the thing is about getting people in, the guaranteed money. And I think if they want to get the guaranteed money from the concessions, they'd end up going down that path.
Yeah.
I could be wrong, but that's just my feeling.
I hope you're right. Because going to a game, it was always a treat as a kid. But now you look at it and you're like, so damn expensive to take anybody. Like, if you want to take the whole family out.
Oh, God. I take it for granted. I get a discount at Moda for having my media pass, and it's still like, God dang, this is expensive to eat here.
All right, we're going to be out at A&A tomorrow, the Stadium Sports Bar for Fan Madness, brought to you by George McCoy at Warren Allen Attorneys at Law. We only have a half-hour show, so if you're going to come out, you're going to party with us, let's go. Let's party up. Up next, you got 4 hours of power from their mouths to your ears. It's primetime with Isaac and Souk right here on 1080 The Fan. Have a great Wednesday, everyone.
Bye.
I love Duke.
Yeah.